You probably guessed the sermon title for today is Stones and Paths. It does seem like the two naturally go together. I mean, we've all walked on paths that were stones. But maybe not so much as we think about the sermon and God's Word. But as I looked at these verses for today, the three readings, that's what I saw. I saw stones and paths. It seems like there was maybe three, maybe even four themes that were fairly obvious. I saw these themes as stones, as they are foundational elements that are common to all three lessons. But I also saw paths. This being the first Sunday in Advent, we are setting off to walk towards Bethlehem. We are beginning a journey towards Christmas. But not everyone travels on the same road. And that's why I chose to title my sermon, Stones and Paths. Our first stone from God's Word is the theme of anticipation and preparation. We see this in the Old Testament reading for today, where Jeremiah writes with the Lord's direction, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, and in those days and at that time." Words signaling anticipation and preparation that something is coming, something worth waiting for. Towards the end of the second lesson, we read that Jesus came to prepare our hearts to be blameless and holy before our God and Father. Again, the stone of preparation, anticipating His return. But as we looked at the gospel writing for today, it seemed unusual for the first Sunday in Advent. This reading describes for us the triumphant entry into Jerusalem that is typically known as Palm Sunday. This also is about anticipation and preparation, as the disciples are told by Jesus exactly where to find that donkey that he would need for his journey. But in a larger picture, it signifies the culmination of 3 years of anticipation and preparation as Jesus journeys the final time towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. The second stone I have labeled the great event. Associated with anticipation and preparation, there has to be a great event, right? We need something as a focus for our anticipation and our preparation. In the Old Testament, we read about a righteous branch that will spring up from David. Judah and Jerusalem will be saved. The birth of our Savior is certainly a great event. The second lesson in verse 13 references the second coming of Jesus Christ with all of his saints. This is the culmination of the great event foretold in Jeremiah. The gospel details Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, the coming king adored by all of his people. This too is a foreshadowing of the great event of Jesus' return. All three of these great events center on the coming of Jesus. The third stone then is celebration. I think maybe celebration with a question mark. In the gospel lesson, we hear the celebratory language as the people shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The multitude of disciples, as described by Luke, rejoiced and praised God in a loud voice. Yet, in a few short days, the people will turn on Jesus and ultimately put him to death. In the second lesson from 1 Thessalonians, Paul celebrates with thanksgiving the faith of the people there, yet there does seem to be something missing or something lacking in their faith. Paul expresses a yearning to see them face to face, to help them in any way possible. And in Jeremiah, we see a celebration of a future glory, taken hold of and realized through the very promise of God. Yet for those that will suffer the justice and the righteousness of the coming King, there will hardly be a celebration. These celebrations seem less than they could be, or maybe less than they should be. These three stones, preparation, anticipation, the great event, and celebration with a question mark, pave the way for the rest of our sermon journey. Today is not only the first Sunday in Advent, but it's also the first Sunday of the new church year. Today, our three-year liturgical journey takes another step as we transition from the Year B readings or lessons to the Year C readings. Next year, about this time, we'll make another step as we transition from Year C to Year A. Today, we also start our Advent journey as we anticipate and prepare for the coming of baby Jesus on Christmas Day, a few short weeks away. As I thought about the journey to Christmas ahead, it occurred to me that there are several, by my count, four, parallel paths that could be part of our journey. We surely walk on one. We may walk on as many as three, and some may even walk on all four. The four paths are the worldly path, the Christ path, the Easter path, and the judgment path. As we journey towards Christmas, let's explore these four paths just a little and consider how these four paths relate to the three pavement stones that we already laid. The first path to Christmas I call the worldly path. There seems to be no shortage of preparation and anticipation here. The push is to sell, 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 and buy, buy, buy. And it seems to start earlier every year. I personally saw Christmas decorations in the Home Depot the first week of October, which is way before Halloween. The commercials on TV point to the screaming deals coming up. They have extended shopping hours, and some places are even open Thanksgiving Day. People are encouraged to start buying presents early, using layaway and available credit, to make this the best Christmas ever. The foundational great event, then, is Black Friday, Cyber Monday, or for businesses this time of the year as compared to the whole year in general. The great event really boils down to, then, how you did in your buying and your selling. But is there a celebration? I think for many it depends on the P&L statement, profit and loss. Did I make out okay? Did I sell enough? If we turn a profit, we celebrate. If we didn't, then not so much. I realize that these are legitimate questions for most businesses, as it is the environment that they live in. And for some workers, the celebration is that they made it through another holiday season with all its busyness, with its extended hours, and with its irritable customers. But for the individual, for the average person, the celebration should not depend on a P&L statement. The focus should not be on how big a haul you take in on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You know, you might recognize this path by the words that you may hear. Well, I really wanted the iPad Ultra Air 5 or the iPhone 8S Plus under the tree, but you know what I got? I got clothes. Who wants clothes for Christmas? Well, now I need to spend my Christmas afternoon mapping out a strategy so I can beat the crowds and return all this stuff and get what I really wanted. Celebration? What celebration? The second path to Christmas I call the Christ path. It starts about this time of the year with the Advent season. Advent is a time of preparation, anticipating the coming of the Christ child. It's a time of repentance as we contemplate the real reason for the season. Why the Savior had to come. Why that child needed to be born. The reason? Our disobedience. Our sin. Our helplessness. As Paul wrote in our epistle lesson for today, Jesus came so he could establish our hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father. Our preparation and anticipation includes a time of extra church services, the children's program and its practices, candlelight and carols, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The great event, then, is Jesus' birth some 2,000 years ago. The promise the Lord made in the Old Testament reading, the promise to Jeremiah, the house of Israel, and the house of Judah, have been fulfilled. We celebrate this event which lasts until the Epiphany on January 6th every year. We celebrate the gift given to us, the gift of the babe in the manger. But even our celebration is imperfect, for we let the things of the world get in the way, to things we treasure and celebrate, such as family, friends, food, prosperity. They become a burden or an obstacle. Our Christmas Day service is attended by few. Things get in the way of our celebration of the Savior's birth. We as Christians may travel that worldly path a little bit more than we'd like to admit. And for some, the celebration can't be over fast enough. Sick of Christmas music and all the hype, it's life as usual, December 26th. But the Christ path has a counterpart. It's the Easter path. Evidenced by our Palm Sunday gospel reading for today, Christmas and Easter have close ties. The one would not be possible or even relevant without the other. The cross allows us to see Advent and Christmas rightly. Death giving birth, meaning and lasting value. We prepare and anticipate Easter during the 40 days of Lent. Lent, like Advent, is a time of preparation, study, and repentance as we think about our sinful condition and we ask the Lord's help in changing our ways. The great event is sometimes hard to define exactly because Good Friday and Easter morning play very important roles. But I believe it to be Good Friday, when Christ took our sins upon Himself and provided the ultimate sacrifice on the cross once and for all. But if it stopped there, it would be for nothing, as we would not have eternal life. We celebrate then that Christ did rise from the dead that Easter morning and lives and reigns in heaven until the day when He returns with the trumpets of heaven declaring His victory. Of course, there are those who refuse to celebrate that Easter victory. A lot of the world is just fine with Jesus living and dying. But rising from the dead? No way. That's just a hoax, along with all the miracles and stories from that old book. Their Easter celebration is limited to the possibility of an extra day off from work. The fourth path to Christmas brings us to the judgment path. All will walk this path. There is no choice. There is no opting out. As believers, we prepare and anticipate this great event as we live here on earth. Those who do not reject the saving work of the Holy Spirit, work accomplished through His chosen means of word and sacrament ministry, live in the now but not yet paradigm of eternal life. Even though as believers we possess eternal life now, we do not possess and experience it to the fullest extent. We anticipate and prepare for that day when we will meet our Creator face to face, when all things will be fulfilled, and we will reside, body and soul, in heaven. The great event then is Judgment Day, a day that Jesus describes in Matthew 25 as the Shepherd King separating the sheep from the goats. The sheep are believers and will inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. From Judgment Day throughout eternity, there will be a great celebration of indescribable joy to include a great banquet feast with Almighty God, our Shepherd King, seated at the head of the table. But not all will celebrate on Judgment Day. There are those who will reject the work of the Holy Spirit on earth who are unbelievers. To these goats, the Shepherd King will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." No feast, no joy, no celebration, nothing but the never-ending torment, anguish, and separation from Almighty God. As we enter into this Advent season, as we prepare for Christmas, I pray that we think about all these paths that we are walking on and the foundational pavement stones of God's Word. Is there any true celebration on the worldly path where the concentration is on buying, selling, or receiving stuff? How are Christmas and Easter related? How do we anticipate and prepare as we walk the Christ path? How do we keep the world from stealing our Christmas and our Easter joy? At all times of the year, we walk on the judgment path. And where does this path lead us? As Christians on this side of heaven, our celebration of eternal life is tempered just a little bit by the knowledge that not all will be saved. The unbelieving goats that Jesus describes in Matthew 25 could include our co-workers, our friends, maybe even family. But Matthew 25 also prepares us in anticipation of our paths crossing with those of the goats. The map Jesus lays out for us is this. When we see someone hungry, give them food. When they are thirsty, give them drink. When they come as a stranger, welcome them. When naked, clothe them. When sick or in prison, visit them. For whatever we do to the least of our brothers, we do to the Shepherd King. And in this day, in this way, we have the hope that the Holy Spirit will use us to make a change in their path so that they too may celebrate the real reason for the season. Stones and path. Kind of makes more sense now, doesn't it? Anticipation and preparation, the great event, and celebration with a question mark, are the pavement stones or themes from God's Word for today. They are foundational to the path that we walk during Advent and the rest of the year. But I think there's a fourth stone that we've talked about that we haven't labeled yet. That is being a light, telling others about Jesus Christ. David was inspired to write these words in Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's shine the light of God's word on our path and on those of the path around us, so that all may see where they are headed. Let's change the traditional meaning of Christmas lights from those that we string on our house or on our tree to those that light the true path to Christ. Show others Jesus. Be a true Christmas light. And to God be the glory. Amen.